and Tamidi Chabal Shem themselves were so great. We have no asaga. We could share the stories and we get a little glimpse into their life, how they lived with such dveikus on the Malam and Ateva. And one of the very great Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov himself, which we don't hear much about because he was a tzaddik nister, but those who hear the name, they appreciate the godless of the tzaddik with Bleib Siris. His yahrzeit is this coming week. Actually, it's the following week on Dalet Adar. Reb Leib Siris was one of the Lamed of Tzaddikim, the 36 hidden Tzaddikim in every generation. The birth of Reb Leib Siris is very interesting. We'll explain why his last name, he's called Siris. It really wasn't his last name, it was his mother's name. Her name was Sarah, and so he's called, his name is Reb Yehuda Leib Siris. The Maaseh Shel Chayei is as follows. There was a king that he wanted to get married, and he sent shluchim throughout the whole world to find a nice wife. Sounds a little bit like the Megillah. And they found this beautiful woman, came from a good family. They said, she's the one for the king. The father of this young girl found out about this, so he quickly took her, and he married her off to an altar yid in town. It was a Jewish girl. An ish zakin ma'oid in that city. And quickly they made a kiddushin and they made a chuppah. And in order to say that, listen, she's already taken. So after the chasna, and after they get back to the king and they said, she's already married to somebody else. So they went over to the father went over to the zakin and said, okay, now let her go. So he said, no. And they went to the girl and they said, do you want to stick in this? And she said, if this is what the Eibishter had in mind, Min HaShemayim, that I should be set up with this zakin, then I'll mask him to the shidduch. From this marriage came Reb Leib Siris. He never met his father. He was an old man. Now it sounds like Boaz and Ruth, right? We're connecting all the Megillahs. He never met his father. And because his mother cared for him and brought him up, so he was called Reb Leib Siris after her. We don't know much about his father, but the Maggid from Mezrich said about his father that he was one of the Lamed of Tzaddikim of the generation as well, previous generation. And he said about Reb Leib Siris, because he was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, with the passing of the Baal Shem, he became a Talmud of the Maggid from Mezrich, that Reb Leib Siris, every action which he does is bilti l'Hashem levada, it's only for the Eibishter. When he was 13 years old, he was born on Shavuos of Tammuz. And his mother brought him as a bar mitzvah boy to the Maggid from Mezrich. And the Maggid from Mezrich gave him a bracha. He said, I'm giving you a gift for your bar mitzvah. So what was the gift that he gave him? He said, 2 days before the bar mitzvah of Reb Leib Siris, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh had passed away. His yahrzeit is on Tesvav Tammuz. He said, I'm going to be giving you a chelik of the neshama of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. That was his bar mitzvah gift that he gave him. A piece of the neshama of the Or HaChaim. And it was said from the name of the Tzaddikim, the Tasha Rebbe. We have a few stories here from the Tasha Rebbe that he told over. We'll see why in a little bit. That the fact that this neshama, the Rachem HaKadosh, accompanied him wherever he went, besides how great he was able to be put a lot of Yeshuas for Klal Yisrael. One of the mitzvahs which Reb Leib Siris, he was Aisakin, was Pidyon Shvuyim, rescuing Jews. And he suffered a lot on behalf of the Jewish people. They say he's also called Reb Leib Siris because of all the tzaris which he had in his life. He was makabel those tzaris upon himself, believe shalim. In fact, he fasted from Shabbos to Shabbos. And when once they asked, I think it was the Balatanya, why is the Reb Leib is fasting all the time? Didn't the Baal Shem Tov look down on fasting? So the Balatanya said, he's not fasting. He just forgets to eat. But he was mekabel upon himself yisurin for the dor. That's the truth. And when he saw that his yisurim themselves wasn't enough to be mechaper in the generation, so he enlisted into this avoy the other tzaddikim, like Rav Moshe Leib Sasever, and other tzaddikim, that they suffered a very great amount towards the end of their life because they were accompanying Rav Leib's service in this avoyda. But we're going to hear some stories about how he was poor Yeshuas, and he lived a life, because he was one of the Lama of tzaddikim, he was hidden, and he went from town to town very much undercover, and nobody really knew who he was, and he lived in his own Dalanamos, which was, again, we're only sharing stories, which was just a mashahu of a mashahu, of the Yeshuas, which they were poyal, and the avoidas, which they did. These were hardly people, b'chla. Amongst the avoidas which he did, the Pidyon Shvuyim, he was Mefarnes the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, together with the Mordechai Magid, the Magid from Chernobyl. He had his hand in almost anything and everything. Once on Erev Yom Kippur, he was on his way to the Baal Shem Tov to be there for Yom Kippur, and he stopped off on a city on the way, and they said, oh, you look like a Yid, can you join us for Minyan? And there's only 9 Jews in this town. So he felt Min HaShemayim, he should stay there. When he comes to Shul on the night for Kol Nidre, so he looks around the room, and he's the 9th man. He's not the 10th man. So he said, are there any other Jews in this town? 10th man, is that song? Are there any Jews in this town? So they said, yeah, there's a certain Jew, but he doesn't want to have anything to do with Yiddishkeit. He threw it away a long time ago. He says, okay, let me go, let me speak to him. It's Erev Yom Kippur, and he speaks to this Yid. So he's able to succeed to bring this Yid into the shul from Yom Kippur. And he said that the Yid really didn't know much about how to daven or what to do. But the Yid was there the entire Yom Kippur, and he cried from beginning to end. Whole Yom Kippur, he cried. So at the end of Yom Kippur, by Ne'ilah, when it came to the part where he said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kinesh Mechad, so B'lib Sura said this with such a geshmak and with such an emunah. So this Yid, he plotched on the floor. Plotched on the floor, and he fainted. So when they woke him up, Rebbe Leib said, okay, you can use him from the year from now on for the rest of the year for your minyanim. You can use him now. He's good to go. And he was poil a complete tshuva on him on the Yom Kippur that he was no longer Meshubin. One of the other Erlich Yidin in town now. Like we said, nobody really knew who he was, and he would travel from city to city. So he came to one town where the Balabas put him like in a separate room. And at this time, when he came to this house, there were 2 rooms, and there was another Yid who was staying there. And this other Yid doesn't say who he was, but I guess he was somebody who people recognize as being a tzaddik. And they put Reb Leib Sarvis in one room, and then this other Yid, this tzaddik, in another room. But in order to get into the other Yid's room, you had to pass through Reb Leib's room. So the Balabas, so his wife was in labor, and I wanted to get a bracha from the tzaddik. So he was passing through Reb Leib's room. So he said, what's going on? He said, don't worry, I'm in a hurry. I'm running into the next room to get a bracha from the tzaddik in the next room. So Reb Leib said, you don't have to get a bracha. It's already taken care of. So he didn't listen. He didn't know what he was talking about. So he went into the other room. He told him, I need a bracha for my wife. She's in the middle of labor. She said, okay, I give you a bracha that everything should be good. Oh, Baruch Hashem, everything was good. Fine. So he had to walk back, I don't know if it was mamish that time, but he said to Reb Leib, Reb Leib said, I gave you Yeshua. It wasn't that guy. I gave you the Yeshua. So he said, how do I know? So he tells the tzaddik, he says, Reb Leib says that he did the Yeshua. So he says, let's see. Ask Reb Leib if he was able to hear at the time what was going on, the malachim singing Shir and Shammai. So he says, oh, okay. So he goes over to Reb Leib, he says, did you hear the malachim singing Shir? He says, look, tell the other room the following question. Does he hear all year round Malachim singing Asher Min Hashamayim? That's what he said. So he went back and he said, no, I don't hear all year round. So he says, oh, so Reb Leib was part of the Yeshua. So what happened? Because Reb Leib was hearing the Malachim singing, so the Yid next door was also hearing them singing. So he thought that he did the Yeshua. But even as it was passing through, Reb Leib said, I already took care of it. I mean, as soon as he walked into the room, Reb Leib said, it's already done. Said about the Shmona Esrei, this is just a Pesach into his Avoida, that he would daven Shmona Esrei for many hours. And again, Rabbi said, whenever we tell stories, it's not to be replicated. Okay, it's just not to replicate, to listen and to yearn for Madrigas. The Shmona Esrei Babar LeBelzer was about 10 seconds. Okay, it's not a matter of how long it is.
Don't copy that either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't copy that too. So he would daven Shmona Esrei for many hours, silent. His lips wouldn't move. He wouldn't move his body at all. So when he would finish davening, though, even though he wouldn't move, nothing, all of his clothes were drenched in sweat. Drenched in sweat. He said he had such a pachad of being in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we know that the Chazal say and the Gemara says that the Chayas HaKodesh, that the Malachim, that they make rivers. They make rivers of sweat because of the pacha which they had standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So a bleep service is standing in Shmona Esrei, that they mamish stood, they felt that they stood. Mamish, all of his begotten were drenched in sweat. Once he had to pass through the town of Stolen, and he asked the Balagala not to take him through the town, but to go around the town. He didn't want to have to meet up with a Basher Stoliner. For whatever, he doesn't say why, but he didn't want that he should meet up with the Tzaddik or Basher Stoliner. Anyways, with Basher Stoliner, he knew with his Ruach HaKodesh that Reb Leib was around. So he told his son, Reb Moshe Ber, he says, it wasn't his son, he was Reb Moshe Ben Ren Reb Uru L'Shoisek. He says, I want you to wait outside the city, and when you see a Yid who looks like this and like that, that's Reb Leib's service, and I want you to stop him and to bring him in. Okay. So he stopped Reb Leib's service, and he brought him in. And Reb Leib said to Reb Moshe Ber, I understand. He says, I'm able to hide myself from the Malachim and the Srafim and all the Malachim. Everybody on high doesn't know about me, but Rosh Stoliner knows about me. He's able to figure out where I am and to know what I'm doing. So they come into the Stoliner Rebbe. And as he's about to come into the house, Asher Stoliner is waiting by the window, and he sees Reb Leib coming, and he says he wanted to jump through the window to come to go be mekabel panim. Reb Leib's service looked at him and he said limdu hetiv, which mean the word hetiv can also mean, doesn't just mean to learn good, but hetiv can mean like hatava saneris, to clean good, which means like to put out the fire good, as if to say like a tzaddik needs to know how to put out his fire, as if to say, I know you have a fire to come and embrace me and to hug me, whatever it is. He says, Limdu hetiv, hold your horses, like, calm down. So the Reb Asher Stoliner waited there. Reb Leib went into the house and they secluded themselves and they spoke for a long time. And Reb Leib got up to leave. And the Reb Asher Stoliner said, you know, you travel by yourself all the time. Can I give you somebody who's going to go along with you? So maybe this Reb Moshe Ber, you could take him along. He'll be a shamish. So Reb Leib sir said, he can come along with me, I don't mind. But with one condition. Whatever happens, you can't ask any questions. Doesn't ask any questions. Okay, fine. So they're traveling for 2 weeks together. Behold, it was Bayoim HaShishi. They were traveling through a forest. And all of a sudden, they meet a very glowing person, a zaken, and they start walking together and walking through the forest, and there's a house in the middle of the forest. Reb Leib's service comes in, and there's many very lichtige yidden who are in the house. And Erev Shabbos, they go on the toivel on the river together. So comes Friday night, they come into the shul, and these very prestigious, beautiful-looking people are in this house, and they're sitting around, and they're singing Zmiras, and then Reb Leib opens up his mouth to sing Tyrus, and Reb Moshe Ber falls asleep. He wakes up and they're ready to bench. He says, I can't believe I fall asleep before a bleep. Say, Tyrus, what's wrong with me? I'm just exhausted from the trip. So the next morning, Kachava, the Daman Shachwars, they have the Suda. Reb Leib is going to share some Tyrus. Reb Leib opens up his mouth. Moshe Ber is sleeping. Wakes up right before Berachas HaMazon. I can't believe what's going on. Okay, Shalosh Shudis. Shalosh Shudis, he's there, holding on. I'm not going to fall asleep, not going to fall asleep. Okay, Reb Leib, share some meat. Oh, out. Wakes up right before she. So, after Marv and Abdullah. Yeah, that's also not to replicate, yeah. So after Ma'ariv and Havdalah, so the Zakenin, they were sitting with Reb Leib next to the Shulchan, next to the table, and they started to speak about things which really made no sense. They started to talk about the different Pritzim. You know, the Pritzim, the Paritzes were all the bad guys in town. You know, the mayors and the people who caused lots of tzaras for the Yidden, about this Paritz and this Paritz and this Paritz. And he said something very interesting. He said, oh, this pirate, he's actually talking, not a bad guy. So Moshe Ber heard this, and he's like, what? This is like one of the worst pirates that there is. So afterwards, they leave the house. As soon as they leave the house, they look behind them, and it's like everybody disappeared. It was as if it wasn't there. So now he's very confused as to the whole thing. Why he's falling asleep? What's going on with the house? Why he's saying Lashon Hara about the pirates? So he turns to Reb Leib and says, okay, you know, what's going on? How could you... He said, what's the deal with the pirates? So he says, wait a second, we had a deal. He says, you come with me, you ask no questions. So he says, they were on the wagon. He says, he threw them off the wagon, and he said, see you later. He said, see you later. And it took him 3 months till he was able to get back home, to where he needed to get home to.
Did he have food?
He figured it out. Right? And his father, and when he came, finally made his way back to Stalin, to Russia Stalin, he said, had you not asked questions... He said he would have taken you all the way to his own madrigas. That's what he said. He would have taken you to his own madrigas. Would travel, like we said, from city to city. And he once met a Yid who recognized him. And he said, I want to accompany you, Reb Leib. Can I go with you on your travels? And of course, Reb Leib said to him, of course you could join me. Just don't ask any questions. So he came with him, and they came to a certain town. And they came to like the Shuk area, to the market area. And he says that Reb Leib, he bought like a stand in the Shuk. And he set up a shop there where he was going to be selling like wine and liquor and so on. And in the middle, he put some type of a partition so that anybody who wanted to come and to drink can like go behind the partition and to drink there. So there was a Yid who came into the Shuk. And he wanted to buy something to drink, a mashke. And he went to one of the stations, and he presented this coin. And they turned him away, and he said, no, this coin isn't worth anything. It's not the current currency. So we can't take the coin, sorry. But if you want, we can give you some free wine to drink. So he said, no, I don't want any free wine. I want to buy it. So he said, okay. So he went to the next place. Nobody wanted to take the coin. Came to Reb Leib Siris. Reb Leib Siris, he had the wine shop, right? So he looks, he says, can I have some mashke? He says, sure. So he says, he hands him the coin. He looks at the coin and he says, oh, this is a very good coin. Very good coin, sure. So here, he gives him some mashke to drink. And the Yid went behind the partition. And he went behind the partition and he didn't come out. He's there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, hour, half an hour, hour. So the Yid is getting curious, and he looks behind the partition, and the Yid's not there. So he couldn't control himself. He says, tell me what's going on over here. Yeah, this guy's going, and he hands you a coin. It's not in currency. He takes it. He says, this is a very good coin. He goes behind the partition, he disappears. So Leib said the following thing. He said, this Yid, he said, this Yid, he already had passed away. He came into this world now, and in Shemaim there was a tain on him that he never gave tzedakah. The only time he gave tzedakah was with this coin. But in Shemaim they said that you can't count the fact that he gave this coin for tzedakah because it's not currency. But in Shemaim there was a rebuttal which said, what do you mean? He tried to give tzedakah. He gave a coin, and what he knows whether this currency or not currency. It was he did a ma'aseh taiva, so you should count it. So there was this machlokes in Shemaim, and they said the following thing. He said, if there will be a tzaddik in the lower world who will say about it that it's a good currency, then we'll accept it as tzedakah. So that's exactly what happened. Trying to buy mashke with this coin. It's not in currency. Oh, but Leib says, oh, it's a very good coin. This is a very good coin. As soon as he passed in that it was a good coin, so he went behind the partition and he went back up to Shemaim, and that was it. But the Yid asked the question, so he said, okay, you're gone. You're out of here. So, huh? At least he got an answer. Yeah. One with one more story. Actually, that was a lot of stories. 20 minutes already. Again, Rabbi said, this is just a Pesach into the world of the Moshe Leib Sa'avar, the Rabbi Leib Saris. This is a quick story. So, there was a certain king, he would go to Vienna a lot, because the king there, he was bound to do whatever the Rabbi Leib Saris said to do. I don't know exactly what the neshama arrangement was, but there were many gzeiras which we tried to make on the Yidden, and whenever Rabbi Leib would go, if whatever Leib would say, whatever he would do, he would be able to be in Bavata Gzeres. One time he came to another place, though, and there was a king that was trying to make certain Gzeres on him, and he tried to get the king to do away with the Gzeres, and the king wouldn't listen. This king wouldn't listen. And he told Rabbi Leib, I'll only listen to you if you'll eat on the same plate as that guy over there, as the galach over there. So Rabbi Leib refused, of course, to do that. And he would come on Erev Shabbos. It seemed like this was something that he was poor Yeshua on Erev Shabbos. He would come on Erev Shabbos many times, and he said, no. So one time he came, and the king said something like, I don't want him coming in anymore. So Taka, he came in. And he started to scream, who let this person in? I told you not to let him in anymore. So all the guards come coming in, and there's nobody in the room. Nobody in the room. So he says, can't you see that he's here? Get him out of here. So they said, I don't know what you're talking about. So there's different gears as to what happened, but Leib started to beat up the king. And they thought that the king was crazy because they couldn't see him. He made himself invisible. He started to beat up the king, and he told the king, I'm not going to stop until you get rid of the Xeris, until you tear up the Xeris. So he talked, you had no choice but to tear him up. But we can't understand, you know, the ways of the tzaddik and what they're able to do. Talk about superheroes, yeah? So these are the real, but they didn't become like that, you know, they just have superpowers. They were taka super, and how they served Hashem. They served Hashem with tremendous dedication. And they revealed their neshamas. They became who they truly were. And because of their mesiras nefesh, v'Hashem Yisbarach, they lived in this world where they were mamish super. There's no life like the life of a tzaddik. And listening to the stories and having cheshek to emulate their ways and to learn from Shbizecha to reach these madrigas in our own emes Hashem and to Shbizecha, we'll recover all the faces of all the tzaddik and come to Shech Tikkin and we have a minuah.